Love Talk Radio.
You gotta get going, you gotta keep going, you gotta keep moving on.
Keep moving on.
You gotta be going, you gotta keep growing, you gotta keep moving on.
Afternoon, ladies, and welcome to Power Women Magazine Radio Show. I'm glad that you're here with me today. I'm your host, Deb Bailey. So excited. We've got a great show for you today. In just a minute, Janet Smith-Warfield will be here with her latest book, Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. So let's see if we can push the magic button and get Janet on the line. Janet, are you available?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Sure can. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I'm finally warmed up from the morning show. I think the sun finally came out, and we're ready to rock and roll on this end for change.
Let's rock and roll.
Let me say, when I read this book over the weekend, and what a mind-challenging book it is. I absolutely love this book. I thought to myself, wow, what a way to look at things. And I've done a lot of reading and had a lot of women come on my show with books, but I don't think any of the books had ever made me think as much as this book did.
Well, that's what it's supposed to do, Deb.
Well, good. Then it works.
So you fit right into the pattern.
Good. Yay. Why don't you go ahead and tell the listening audience a little bit about Janet and why you wrote your book?
Oh, my gosh. Janet is such a complex person and such a long story. However, I had a mystical experience about 40 years ago, which I wasn't looking for, wasn't expecting, didn't even know anything about when it happened. It was just an experience that appeared in my life that was absolutely amazing because all the pieces of my life suddenly fell into place and I suddenly understood things that I hadn't understood before. Specifically what happened, actually there's a prelude to the mystical experience and maybe I need to go into that first if we have time to do that. At the time I was a young mother, maybe I was around 30 years old. I had three sons at the time, Bill, age 5, Steve, age 3, and Russ had just been born. When Russ was born, Bill began wetting the bed. And having three preschoolers, I was pretty frustrated over this. I didn't like it a lot because it was more work for me. However, at first I just ignored it. I figured maybe it's a one-time deal. I won't say anything. Maybe it'll go away. Well, it didn't. So I decided it was time to have a talk with Bill and explain to him why a 5-year-old is too old to wet the bed. Well, that didn't do any good either. He listened carefully to me. He shook his head yes, and the next morning the bed was still wet. I was getting more and more frustrated. I raised my voice. The next morning the bed was still wet. I spanked him once. The bed was still wet. So I was becoming more and more frustrated and angry, and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted to get. Around that time, my mother gave me a book called Summerhill by an English schoolmaster, A.S. Neal. Now, Neal had a very strange way of dealing with the problem children at his boarding school in England. Whenever a child misbehaved, Neal didn't whack him with a stick or scold him or lock him up in the coat room for a while. Neal simply gave the child a penny. And more often than not, the bad behavior stopped. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, he did what? he rewarded this child for bad behavior. This isn't making any sense to me at all. However, I was pretty desperate at this point in my interactions with Bill. So I figured, okay, you know, Neil says this works. I'll give it a try and we'll see what happens. The next morning, the bed was wet. I didn't say a word. I simply went to my wallet, pulled out a penny, gave it to Bill, and walked away. Now, bear in mind, I didn't have the foggiest idea why I was doing this. It was just kind of my last hope. But, Bill kind of looked at me as if to say, I wonder what's wrong with her. This is not normal mother behavior. But he never wet the bed again. And I was just blown away by this. I couldn't stop thinking about it because it was so simple and so effective. And my anger and frustration disappeared when I didn't have to change wet sheets every morning, and Bill went on playing happily in his five-year-old life. Well, because of this experience, I started playing with these ideas a lot more in my life. When the mystical experience happened, a man came to my door. This was maybe a couple of months later. I don't remember anything about this man except I think maybe he was a neighbor, not a close neighbor, but somebody who lived in the neighborhood. He came to the door. He knocked very hard on the door, and he was angry, and he was angry with me. I don't remember what I did. I know I didn't intentionally do anything to hurt him or disturb him, but all I really noticed was the anger directed at me. In the past, I might have gotten defensive. I might have said, I did this because I might have explained to him why I'd done what I'd done. Or maybe I would have said, oh, you shouldn't be angry over a little thing like that. That's really not important. I didn't do any of that. I simply said, you know, I'm really sorry. What can I do to make this better? And just like that, his anger stopped, and when he left, we were friends. Now, as he was walking away, don't ask me why this happened. You wonder how thoughts sometimes just pop into your head out of nowhere. Well, this was one of those times that what popped into my head was words I had learned as a child in Sunday school. Resist not evil, but turn the other cheek. And I thought, oh my gosh, now I understand what those words mean. The shift for me, nothing changed in the words that I had heard as a child. Nothing changed around me. My living room was still there. My kids were still there. The front door was still there. The only thing that changed was the way I understood those words that I'd been taught long, long ago. When I was first taught those words, they didn't make any sense to me either. All I could think was, if somebody smacks me on the left cheek, why should I turn around and say, here, hit me again? Didn't make any more sense. I'm sorry? It didn't make any more sense than rewarding a child for bad behavior. But it worked, and the shift for me was I had always understood that those words as meaning I should deny my own needs to meet other people's needs. But I wasn't doing that in this situation. I was playing with a new idea that seemed to me to be working pretty well and pretty effective. I was curious. I was taking a risk, perhaps. I was doing something that would benefit me, I hoped, because I wanted the anger to stop. And the anger did stop. So what happened was that acting in that way, turning the other cheek, was actually a win-win solution. The man won, but I won too. That was the consciousness shift for me. We both benefited. You know, and was I being selfish or unselfish? Well, I honestly don't know. I thought about that question for a long time, probably both simultaneously. And when all this happened, it was such an amazing experience. I wanted to tell everybody right away. And as I started talking, I realized nobody had the foggiest idea what I was saying, what I was talking about. And they probably thought I was kind of nuts. So I shut up for a while and I pulled back and I thought, I better start looking at these words that I'm using to communicate this experience that just happened. I also started reading like crazy all the religious literature from all over the world that I could get my hands on. One of the things I read was Varieties of Religious Experience by William James. And in that book, he described the characteristics of a mystical experience. I didn't know what to call this. I didn't have any vocabulary to even think about it or label it. But the characteristics of a mystical experience are it's ineffable. You can't talk about it, which I couldn't. I found out as I tried to do that. It also has a noetic quality. Somehow you just know that you know, you understand, all the pieces of your life come together, all the puzzle pieces fit. It's transient in that it happens and passes and you go on. And as the Chinese, I think it is, there's a Chinese proverb, something about before transformation, you carry water and chop wood. After transformation, you carry water and chop wood. That's the way it is. I mean, you're still doing the normal tasks. The fourth characteristic was passivity. This was not something I was looking for. It just came into my life. How or why, I don't know. But it definitely came into my life. It was there, and it gave my life an entire new meaning. So that's how the book got started. And if you have questions, please just stop me anywhere along the
I do have questions, but I like hearing from the guests because they are going to know more about it than I do. But I think one of my biggest questions, or maybe comments, maybe is a better word, that I had on there, only because I'm reading another book about power thoughts and power words and how they play in our daily, because my husband and I fight a lot, as most couples do nowadays especially, and it's usually either kids or money. And, you know, you get to that point where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of saying things, and you just wish that we could come to some kind of compromise or somebody's listening to somebody. And so I started reading this other book, and then your book came in, and I thought, wow, how we don't even realize how powerful our words are. And when we say our words, how they change the other person, and how the perception of what you're telling somebody and how those words play in. It's just phenomenal to hear how those things do when you don't even realize most of the time that it's happening.
Well, you see, this is the thing. Most people, when they talk, they think they're talking about something that's out there in front of them, and really all their words are their own perception or understanding of what's out there in that moment. Most people don't pull back from their words and just look at the words that they're speaking. Often when I meet up with someone, maybe for the first time, and we chat a little bit, one of the comments that the other person frequently will say is, "Oh, I'm so sorry. What was your name again? I'm just terrible at remembering names." And I will usually say to them, "Did you hear the words that you just spoke?" At which point, you know, it's as if they stop short. They pull back. They pay attention not to being nice to me or being apologetic or whatever it was they were doing, but just looking at their words, and the response is always, "Oh, my gosh, I am saying that I am not good in this area." And I will usually say, "Yes, and that's exactly what you're attracting into your life. When you say you're terrible at remembering names, then that pattern is going to continue." people's words say much more about them than they say about anything else. If somebody, for example, were to call me stupid, that says much more. It doesn't say anything about me. It says a lot about perhaps the way even they see themselves, or the way, certainly the way they see the world, or maybe they need to say that just to build up their own self-esteem. It doesn't say anything about me.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that is one of the lessons I had to learn. In case anybody's listening that's never heard my show before, there's a lot in my life that I share. And one of the things that I share in my life is I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And I remember when my kids were young and I went through all this, that was some of the things that just kept playing in my mind, how stupid I was, how fat I was, how nobody wanted me, and this and that and that and the other. And, you know, it got to playing in my mind until one day I finally stood up and said, I've had absolutely enough of everything. And I had to make myself stand in front of a mirror every day naked and tell myself, yeah, okay, so you've gained pounds. Hello, you've had kids. Okay, so you're not as young as you used to be, but that's okay. Everybody grows old. It's okay that you are who you are, and you're worthy of who you are. You have kids that love you. You have a family that's supporting you. You need to go on and do what you need to do and make this better. And that's exactly how I got through it. But I remember, for example, my husband at the time would always say, you know, I don't know why you think that you have to stay here. You can leave. There's, you know, other options that you have. And I thought to myself, why would you say that to somebody? What kind of meaning would you want? Do you want me to fight back and say something, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, or are you saying this because it's something that makes you feel better? And, you know, I went and found a support group and everything and got over it and got better. And the thing that was said to me about this, and it really blew me away, it said, you know what, your husband's a little boy that is scared, and he lashes out, and that's how he deals with things. Unfortunately, it's the bad way to deal with things. But the things that he is saying is how he feels inside, and he's scared. And I thought to myself, well, why don't he just come out and say, hey, I'm scared, instead of doing all these
because
terrible things
to
somebody else.
Because men don't do that, Deb, you know? And they are conditioned not to feel their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to find some other way of helping themselves to feel comfortable. And maybe there's that, there's probably that in all of us. Certainly, what you were talking about before, it brought up a couple of thoughts for me. I mean, one is the use of affirmations is so wonderful for building your own self-esteem. And affirmations, you simply sit down when you have 10 or 20 minutes with a piece of paper and a pen, and you write down all the good things you can think of yourself. I am beautiful, I'm smart, I have a good mind, I can solve problems, I'm a good housekeeper, I'm a great mother. You know, whatever it is, you know to be true about yourself. And then you put that up where you can see it every day, and you just keep focusing on the good things you know to be true about yourself. And you can add to the list as you go along. You may be out in a bus and think of something. Well, if you have something to write it down on, do it, and then add it to your list of affirmations. And as you focus on what's good in your life and what's positive in your life, that list will grow, and your feelings of self-esteem will grow, which means you will feel better, and you will act in a more competent way, and you'll be willing to take an occasional risk. Try something new. See how it works out. If it doesn't work out, well, fine. You go on to something else and see how that works out. That's one thing that came up for me while you were talking. The second thing was this whole idea, and I don't remember exactly what you said, but the whole idea of gratitude. You aren't grateful because other people deserve it, or you aren't grateful because you ought to be grateful. You are grateful because it raises your own energy level. It does wonders for your own sense of self. And when you start looking for all the things on this planet for which you can be grateful, it's astounding how many there are. It's almost an endless list. And it changes your energy. It changes the way other people feel about you, because instead of having all this anger or fear stuck inside of you or low self-esteem, you're starting to connect with all the good things in your life. And you're simply able to say, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that gorgeous rainbow, that beautiful sunset, the fountain outside my house, whatever.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I tell ladies this all the time. I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to start Power Women magazine, because that is by far the farthest thing that was from my mind. I never even knew that was around. growing up, I lived in a volatile environment. My biological father was an abusive drunk and would beat my mom every day, and she got away from him with me and my sister. And she met a wonderful man who turned out to be my stepfather, who raised me from the time I was 11 until he took his last breath in 2003, and was a wonderful man and taught us a lot of things. And then I got into a situation where I was abused, and a lot of things was going on. I've had businesses that failed. I've had, you know, relationships that failed. But, you know, everybody always says, how do you know what you know, how do you know, how did you get started? And I always tell them, you know, no matter what venture I was in, and I always say adventure because that's the word I like to use, but whatever project I'm working on or whatever adventure I was in, I always learned something from that and took it with me. It was like a stepping stone to get to where I'm at.
Exactly.
You know, I've had next month, actually next week, I've had Power Women Magazine radio show, which came first for 2 years, and I can't believe it's been 2 years. It's went by so fast. And actually, it came about because I had a medical staffing agency where I worked with 1099 subcontractors, women. I hired women only to help supplement their husband's income, and they could have some of their own money and still work at home. And one of the girls that I hired literally stole my business, turned me into the labor board, and I lost my business and almost lost my home over it. And had this big to-do, and I was just really totally upset because I had poured my heart and soul into this business, and it was just finally taking off. I had some of the bigger clients. Kaiser Permanent was one of my clients, you know, and I was staffing hospitals, big hospitals, and dental offices, and physical therapy places, and I was just rocking and rolling, and all of a sudden it was gone in a blink of an eye. And I remember at the time my son was 16, and he was having some really bad health issues. He was having passing kidney stones and had to have kidney surgery. And he came up to me and he says, Mom, I don't know why you're crying. This isn't where God needs you. And I thought to myself, well, what do you know? You're only 16. What do you know? You know? And I said, well, thank you, but, you know, go on down the road. Had I stopped and listened to him, he was exactly right. Because 2 months later, here I had started with Power Women magazine, in the radio show, and I just got on there to be talking. Hello, I'm a talker. I need to talk out my problems. And little did I know, I had a PR agency that was listening to me in Los Angeles that contacted me and said, hey, we want our R&B single lady to be on your show. And I'm like, what show? You know, what are you talking about? So it just grew from there. And I have had the most amazing time in 2 years. And my future plan is to keep this going. And I'd like to have my own satellite radio channel to even reach more places. I'm, you know, the radio show is in 96 countries. I've got it in syndication in 2 terrestrial radio stations. And, I mean, I just meet amazing women all over that come on and share. And the reason why I tell this story is because there was so much adversity that I went through when I was younger to get to where I'm at. I could have stopped, and yes, I did stop and have pity parties. Don't get me wrong. It was not a walk in the roses, if you will. Yes, I stopped. I fell. But guess what? I got myself back up. I dusted my knees off. I dusted my big old hiney off. And I got up and I went on down the road because I knew there was something else. And it takes a lot to get to where you're at, but you have to dig down deep inside. You have to find yourself, and you have to look at things in a different way. Because could I sit there and said, yes, my husband used to beat me. Yes, he dragged me behind a pickup truck. Yes, I was in the hospital. Yes, all these terrible things happened to me. Yes, I was rejected by my mother. You know, on and on and on. If I would have stayed in that mindset and in that thought pattern, I probably wouldn't have amounted to nothing. I'd be doing something terrible that I'd never wanted to do had I had stayed in that mind spread. But I didn't. I said to myself, this is it. This is enough. There's something else out there for me. And I kept on pushing and pushing and pushing until, boom, it popped.
And it's just amazing how that happens. I've had similar experiences where dreams that I've had have just totally crashed. Certainly my first marriage was one of those. And I literally cried at night for 3 or 4 hours every night for about 2 months after I walked out on my marriage. But you've got a choice. You either roll over and die, or you pick yourself up and you move on. And for me, I wasn't ready to die yet, so I got up and I took the next step. For me, it was applying to law school. Now, I know at age 20, it never occurred to me ever to be a lawyer. That was just not in my mother's plans for me at all. But at age 40, it became a necessity for a lot of reasons. And as I look...
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Janet, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh,
my goodness. I hope I didn't lose her.
Hold on just a minute. Let me call in again.
Janet, if you can't hear me, just hang up and call back in. Okay, well, we'll get back with her in just a second. And again, we're talking with Janet Smith Warfield and her latest book, Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. And what an exceptional book this was. I absolutely love this book. It is a great mind thinker. It opens up your mind and your thoughts and your words to a whole new level. And absolutely, it was a wonderful read. Let's see. Hang on. Let's see if we can push the button and see if we can get her to come back in. Okay. Well, hopefully she'll be able to call right back in and everything. Let's see. See real quick if I can pull up what her website is, just in case she don't get to come back in and join us. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Here she is. Let's see if we can get her pulled back in here. Janet, are you with us?
I am with you. I don't know what happened there, but obviously.
My goodness, I'm sorry. I'm not
no,
sure what happened.
No problem. Must have been gremlins. Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess I was just talking about going to law school. I ended up practicing law for 22 years, but this actually fit in beautifully with my entire life plan, because with all the problems I was having trying to communicate this mystical experience, which was my big challenge, it has been my lifetime challenge and also my lifetime purpose to find a way of getting this experience through to other people in some kind of comprehensible way. So going to law school actually helped me learn how to use words as clearly as possible. Was it a piece of cake? Not on your life. And you were talking earlier about abuse. There were many situations where I felt abused by men, because when I began practicing law, there were very few women in the profession. And even if we weren't openly abused, we were pretty much ignored. We were non-entities. We were the token women in the law firm who were pretty much left to fend for themselves. The guys would all go out to lunch together, and, you know, we were not invited. I've had to deal with a lot of belligerent male municipal officials who verbally abused me, and that was just a challenge for me to learn to deal with my own fear. And while I'm talking about fear for a minute, again, you know, all this is about watching your own words, but not only your own words, watching what your mind is doing, watching what your emotions are doing. And you don't need to act out on any of this before you become aware of it. When you become aware of it, you can make choices. But going back to this subject of fear, what I realized when I was feeling fear was that my mind was in one of two places. Again, it's pulling back and looking at your thoughts, looking at your words, looking at your self-talk. Where my mind was was either in the future, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? Or it was on what somebody else might think, say, or do. As soon as I became aware of that, I could simply make a conscious choice to pull my mind back to the present moment, pull my focus back to the present moment, and I was always in a safe place. Maybe I was in my own living room all by myself, sitting on my sofa, and I was terrified because my mind was going in circles into the future with all these what ifs, or what will people think if I do this, or what if I'm disgraced, or what if I don't succeed. It was all this negative self-talk. You can release fear if you just notice where your thoughts are when you notice they're in the future or on what somebody else may think, say, or do. You pull your mind back to the present moment, and then the question is, what is my next step? What positive action can I take right now? And then when you get that one done, you move on to the next one. What is my next step here in this present moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, people say to me all the time, aren't you scared to do that? Well, over the years I've gotten a little scared, I guess because of my age. But, you know, I've always been the kind of person that was always up front anyway. And I think my biggest fear when I was going through domestic violence was that I was the manager at the local shelter for the abused women and children. Huh. And I think my biggest fear was, oh, my gosh, here I'm going to work to help these women, and at home I'm battling the same storm that they're getting out of. And how can I tell these ladies what's going on in my neck of the woods, you know? How can I stress that to them? And that was the biggest, and when they found out what was going on, actually the lady that hired me came to me and she said, I want you to come work for me. And I said, why? She said, because I know where you've been. I know what you go through. I know what you've been through. And she said, one day you're going to be an inspirational speaker. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know who you're talking about. But you ain't talking about me, lady. You got me confused with somebody else. And I wish I knew where she was at in this world today, because she was absolutely 100% correct. But I didn't know it at the time because I let fear run everything that I was doing. And until I got over that, but I had a wise, wise woman tell me once, do it afraid. Just do it afraid. Just do it. And I keep that in the back of my mind even to this day. I mean, at one point in my life, I had quit smoking 10 years ago. In February, it'll be 11 years. And I got to the point where I couldn't even go. I was so depressed, I couldn't even go out of my own house. And I quit cold turkey. I didn't want the medicines. I didn't want, you know, to take anything for it. I just wanted to stop smoking. And I got to the point where I was scared to go out after dark. I made sure that everybody was at home from school and work, because I was always the one that drove in the family primarily, and made sure everything was done on time and everybody was home by dark. And one time that didn't happen, and I was literally in town after dark, and it scared the snot out of me. And I thought to myself, what kind of person is this sitting right here? Here I am, 33 years old, a mother of two, and I'm scared to drive in the dark. And I thought, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to me? Okay, so let's play this through. So if the worst thing that happens to me is I'm going to be stuck on the side of the road. Hello, I have a cell phone. Hello, you know, I know people in this town. I've been in this town for 23 years. People know me, you know. So what's the big deal? And I had to work through that and do it afraid. And when I did it afraid, I got over being afraid. Now it's not so much of a bother. Now I have to go out at 9 o'clock. I hate it still, don't get me wrong. But I have to go pick my son up at work at 9 o'clock every night from Advanced Auto here in town. So, I have to go and do those things. A few years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do those kind of things because I had listened to myself. I'd listened to my fear. I got in my mind the perception that something terrible was going to happen to me and I was going to be stuck on this dark, desolate road and the boogeyman was going to get me or whatever it was I was thinking. And I absolutely talked myself into not doing something.
Yeah. And I think fear is something that all of us struggle with. I think every human on this planet struggles with fear. I think every human on this planet struggles with self-esteem. So for each of us, I think the challenge is simply to take those steps which help us release our fear, release our anger, release our guilt, and move on as well as we can with the resources we have available into that next step, whatever it is, the next step, the next step. When you're just taking one step at a time, it's much simpler than trying to plan your whole life from where you are right now. It doesn't work anyway.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, back in the day, I could get, my girlfriend, she used to tease me all the time. She lived in Tulsa, and I lived in Hot Springs. So we were 3, maybe 4 hours away from each other, depending on which way you took and how fast you wanted to drive. So she was going through a very tough time as well, being domestic violence and everything. And her husband used to make me so mad. I would stand up to him, and I would just get in my car and go to Tulsa and go pick her and the kids up and bring them back to my house for, you know, a couple weeks until he calmed down. And, you know, everybody say, oh, how could you do that? How could you get up and just run out the door and, you know, drive by yourself 3 or 4 hours and then go pick somebody up and, you know, pull them away from a domestic violence when you're going through the same thing? And I said, I don't know, I just do it.
And I didn't think about it, I went and did it. Yeah, and you probably do it because you went through so much of it yourself. You've been there, you know what it feels like, and you know you can help. And you, getting back to your working in the Women's Abuse Center, my experience is you always teach what you need to learn because it helps mm-hmm. you get clear on your own situation when you can help other people who are in similar situations.
Absolutely. And you have that connection. I think that's what Power Women magazine is to me, you know, the radio show and the magazine, because my life is in it. You know, I get up and I breathe it. You know, I talk about it. I do it. I can't wait to get the next person on to see what they have that's different to bring to the table, because I think that's what makes us such great, powerful women is the knowledge and the connections that we share.
I agree 100%. I think it's all about collaborating. It's all about sharing your experiences with other women, and it's about working together. Women tend to collaborate, I think, more than men at it's somehow at a different level. I mean, men collaborate on the football team or in the Navy or things like that, but women have more of a willingness to share their pains and their frustrations with one another and help one another move beyond them.
Right. I agree with you. You know, and I think that's why women are such nurturers, because we connect at a deeper level than a man does anyway. I've always said that. But, you know, that just reminds me of the when I was reading your book, the one thing that kept playing in my mind is if you have 5 people standing on a street and there's a car accident in front of you, you're going to get 5 different stories.
Absolutely.
And I think that is the difference between men and women, because we see things on a different level that a man can, that men can, period. There's just no ifs, ands, buts about it, and I think that's what makes it so unique. And I think that's why Power Women is such a wildfire, because once I kicked into it, and don't get me wrong, I played around with this for 6 months or better before I took it seriously. But once I took it seriously, boom, it was like it was on, you know.
Well,
and
it's part of your life
letters.
Purpose and passion, I think. That's what I'm hearing. It's part of what you're on this planet to do.
Absolutely. And it took me 44 years to get here. But, you know, could I have sat down and cried every day like I used to and sit in the bathroom and say, God, why am I here? Why are you letting somebody hit me every day? And how come I can't have my own income so I can leave? And okay, I did leave, and now he's following me, and how come I'm going back to him? And, you know, oh, my gosh, all these things that happened in 44 years. I mean, I plan on writing
and it's a
book.
It's
Don't
a hard,
my gosh. I'm
it's
sorry.
A hard, hard path to follow, because you're always feeling or frequently feeling victimized by somebody else. And women also tend to ask themselves all the time or blame themselves and say, oh, well, it must be my fault. What did I do wrong? What should I do differently to make this relationship work? when what the woman really needs to be asking herself is, do I want to stay in a relationship where I am being abused, or is there a way I can move out of this and surround myself by people who treat me with kindness and support and positive thoughts? It's a whole different energy. But as women, and it's not probably always true just of women, but as women, we tend to stay in a relationship trying to make it work, and it's not our fault that it's not working. We've just been conditioned to think that the male is the decision maker in a marriage and that we are the supporters in a marriage. And that's not the way an ideal marriage should be, at least from my perspective. But we're conditioned to think that way. That's why
right. And,
taught.
You know, you get caught up in the what I like to call the brainwash, because it's, abuse especially is a cycle. You're going to have the honeymoon stage. You're going to have the abuse stage. You're going to have the tear down your spirit stage. And all they're doing is grooming you for this role. And it took me years to figure that out and get it through my thick head, you know, that I'm not going to be able to change him. That was my goal. Okay,
exactly.
So he's abusive. I can handle a butt whooping every once in a while. I'm a big girl. I can handle my things. You know, it's not going to be that bad. But when I was going through it and it actually happened to me, I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, let me look at this again. What's really going on? Was I put on this earth to be a punching bag? No. Was I put on this earth to be the best parent that I probably and should be? Yes. Do I need to go through all this? No. Do I need to get help? Yes. And that's when I stopped and said, enough's enough.
Yeah, and good for you. Good for you. Because I think when you get to that point, it's almost getting down to the very bottom of your soul. It's getting into the hell of your soul before you're ready to make the choices that you need to make to move out of that hell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's like when a lot of people come up to me even to this day and they're like, why don't you just leave? Well, you know what? It's the way that things are done to you. Until you walk in those shoes, as they say, you'll never know. Yes, we can sit outside and we can just about guesstimate what's going on. But until you're in that part and you may wake up tomorrow and say, I've had enough. It may be next month. It may be 10 years down the road. And don't get me wrong, there's no good reason. There's no reason to stay at all. But when you're in that predicament and you're in that situation and you've got all these things pounding in your head, how you're terrible, how you're worthless, how you're this, how you're that, and then you just can't one day just wake up your mind and say, oh, I'm really not all those things. He's been lying to you. It doesn't quite work like that. And I think that part, as you mentioned in your book, is what you see versus what your friends and your neighbors and your family see. And it's two different things. And to bring somebody into that situation and let them in just a little bitty bit is like a big thing to somebody that's walked through domestic violence, for instance.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I mean, well, yeah, I actually have been in domestic violent situations with, well, certainly verbal abuse. There are all kinds of abuse. I mean, there can be verbal abuse. There can be a spouse who just is simply not present with you. His mind's off someplace else. There can be physical abuse. I've been fortunate not to have been subjected to very much physical abuse, but I've certainly been subjected to verbal abuse, and I know exactly where that comes from. It comes from my mother having taught me, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. So I would stay and stay and stay and stay in verbal abuse. I don't need to do that. Now I generally just walk away. And what's really interesting for me to watch when I start watching my emotions, the emotion that comes up for me now immediately when someone tries to verbally abuse me is anger. And the anger is a messenger to me, move away. Just get out of there. You don't want to be around this person.
Right. It's like a red flag giver.
Yeah, the emotion, if you stand back and look at your emotions, they're always bringing you some messages, and there are tools you can use, well, certainly to decipher the messages and then figure out what the heck you're going to do to improve your situation. And it's not about improving the relationship in this case. It's about improving your own situation. And tied in with this whole abuse issue in a male-female relationship, I think for women often is they're afraid they won't be able to get a job and sustain themselves financially. Maybe they don't have the education, or they think they don't have the education to be able to get a decent job and even provide food and shelter for themselves and their kids. So they stay in an abusive relationship because of that fear of poverty, that fear of financial loss.
Absolutely. And that was one of the big things that played in mind. I thought, man, I'd just love to walk out that door and never look back. But can I afford to do that? I've got two little kids. I work three part-time jobs, but it's not enough. I couldn't give them a nice home. I couldn't give them nice clothes on their back. I couldn't, you know, put a meal on the table every day for them. So why go? Why go through that? And, you know, you sit there and you battle that in your mind. What's the less of the two evils? You know?
Exactly. But it's the fear of not being able to support yourself financially, because women have a much harder time earning money, at least a lot of them do, than men do. So there's that fear of the financial support. Now, I think there's another issue going on here, another connection, which is for a man, financial control is also sexual control. When a man can force a woman to stay with him because she's afraid she won't have enough money to support herself, then he's got full sexual control over the woman.
I never thought about that.
Could be.
Could very well. And, you know, and that's why I think, too, that one of the big messages that I try and stress every day at Power Women Magazine and Radio, and that is knowledge, because knowledge is power.
Yes.
And if you don't get that power, and you know, the biggest thing I think I had to face was I'm not the only one going through this. I can allow somebody else in to help me, to let them share with me. And I think that was one of the big things that had me cornered, was here I was out in the public, I was working at a shelter, I was helping these women, I was hiding what was going on behind closed doors, because God forbid somebody would have found out about it, even though the director of the shelter knew exactly what was going on, and that's exactly why she wanted me in that position. I didn't have it in my heart to tell them, I guess in my mind, because I thought, why should I burden them with something else? Had I
told them, I might have shared experiences instead
of making it worse, like I had thought.
And the fear is, oh, well, if they know, they're going to fire me.
Right, right. Yes, exactly.
Which is exactly the opposite of
what
happens.
Now it's where I can share, and so it's not so bad, because there's women out there that's listening to me. I wish I would have been more braver back in the day, because I would have absolutely sat down and said, this is going on, this is how I dealt with it, you know, how do you deal with things? And I think it would have made a better connection. But, you know, that's hindsight. What are you going to do? You know, you just live and you take it with you and you go on.
Well, this, you know, all goes back to how you use words, too. I was in a support group for 12 years, too. I was a member of Naranon, which is a support group for families and friends of addicts. What I learned from Naranon is how valuable it is just to share your own story as openly and honestly as you can. And one of the standards in the 12-step programs is the speaker shares his or her own story. The listener takes what they like and leaves the rest, so that it takes judgment out of it. And as one person hears another person's story and they think, oh, my gosh, that sounds like exactly what happened to me, you realize that there are tons of women who have been through the same thing, and nobody talks about it because everybody's holding on to their secrets, and everybody's afraid that if they speak about it, other people are going to treat them as pariahs or fire them or not have anything to do with them. So again, it's that fear of losing connection and losing relationship. But the when you have the courage to share your own story, it actually connects you with many other people who have gone through exactly the same thing and are afraid to share their story. So you're doing a wonderful service, Deb, by sharing your story with other women.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, that is the number one lesson I learned, is to open up and talk about it. And ever since I figured that out now, it's hard for me to just to sit down and shut up. It's hard for me to waste the time. I've got this so burning inside of me. I just say, pay attention to me. I got to tell you something. You know, and so now I run with it. Things are better. My husband and I both went through counseling and worked out our differences, and I can honestly say we've been married for 22 years. So, you know, it's something that everybody faces, that they all face it differently. Everybody faces fear in one way or another, and everybody has angry moments. Everybody has something that they have to deal with in their life, whether it happened last week, last year, 10 years ago, or it's going to happen in the future. It's just part of life. And how we look at it, how we handle it, will make all the difference in the world.
It's interesting to me. A lot depends on what your childhood training was, because that conditions you to come from a certain space and a certain perspective. Then when you have to deal with something different, it's a whole new world. For me, in my childhood, anger was not an acceptable emotion. You just didn't get angry. So I didn't. It's taken me a long time to get in touch with my anger and realize that my anger is, as I say, a messenger telling me about something that I think is unjust, unfair, and that I need to move myself out of in some way or another, because I'm not going to stay in an abusive relationship. It's not worth my time and energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know what? It has been an hour since we've been sitting here talking, and it just flew by. I mean, I was so glad to hear that you're coming on the show today. I'm excited, because I think that everybody needs to get this book and read it and have an open mind to it. Can you tell the listeners real quick, before we have to cut it down for the day, where they can go and buy the book, Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World?
Well, they can buy it on any of my three websites, wordsculptures.com, WORDSCULPTURES. I have a second site, wordsculpturespublishing.com. And then also I have a blog at janetsmithwarfield.com, which includes articles on abuse as well as perception and a lot of other things. So a lot of people seem to find the blog material very interesting if anybody wants to go on there. Obviously, they can get my book at Amazon. I know that some Barnes & Noble stores carry it. A lot of New Age bookstores carry it. It's in a lot of local libraries. And if you can't find it, just ask your bookstore to order it, because I have plenty of distributors out there who would be happy to get them a copy.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm going to tell
all the other ladies that come on here, why take your books and donate them to the local women's shelters and the other local women organizations that Power Women magazine is involved with, so it gets passed on to be even more powerful.
Well, good. Thank you very much for doing that. I really appreciate it. And the book, in case anybody didn't get the title, is Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World.
Absolutely. Well, Danny, it was a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for coming on and sharing the hour with me.
Well, thank you so much, Deb, and thanks for all your sharing as well. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. And there's no other way to have a day, is there? Bye.
That's absolutely right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, ladies, wow, what a quick hour. Now, tomorrow we've got two shows. Tony Love will be here in the morning show, and she's going to be talking about wigs and hair pieces. And then in the afternoon, Joan and Pancho's here, and we're going to talk about greeting people in and outside of the home just in time for Halloween, because you know how the doggies get when the doorbell rings 1,000 times for the trick-or-treaters. So that's going to be tomorrow, and guess what? That's going to wrap up October. And come and visit us at www.powerwomenmagazine.com. Find out who our 2010 Small Business Women in Small Business winner was. She's on the front cover of our magazine issue that just came out Monday. So it is available on our site. Just click on the store tab, and in fact, you can buy all the issues that we've started since May, since they went into print. So we want to thank you so very much for joining us. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.